So, my name is Althea Champagny, and I'm a senior content developer in the Windows Protocols team here at Microsoft. I've been in the team for 4 years, and I'm presenting today with Steve Smith, my colleague on the Windows Protocols team, and with Lu Chen, who is on the Shanghai test team. So we're going to talk about the virtual storage overview document. So by a show of hands, how many of you have heard of the overview documents? All right, a couple of people. So I'm assuming then the folks who haven't put up their hands, you haven't actually used overview documents yet, right? All right, so this is a good talk. To show you that we actually have overview documents, what they are, how they can help you and other folks on in your companies and on your teams. And we'll talk about the brand new overview document that we have on virtual storage. Steve is a writer for that. We talk about what's covered in that document, what's not covered, how you can use it, the examples that are included. And then Lou is going to take a couple of those examples in the document and show you how she captured the network traffic for those examples and how you can make use of those file captures, which we've made available to everybody here. They're all open source, okay? So what are the overview documents? So they were created as an aid. They're all informational documents. They're an aid for you folks to understand how groups of related protocols work together. So we create overview documents for multiple technology areas, and I'll show you later on how many there are and what areas they cover. But think of them as if you're new to an area and you want to understand how they work, how the protocols in that space work, the overview documents are great documents for that. We also, as part of the overview documents, we produce network captures. So the examples, we create the environment and we capture the network traffic. We annotate those captures so you can understand what's going on. And we make those available to you, and I'll show you where you can get those. The second half of the presentation, I'm going to hand over to Steve and Lou, and they're going to talk about the specific one that we produced about a month ago for virtual storage. And this overview document was as a result of feedback from you folks. Steve's going to talk about what protocols it covers and look at the use cases, and Lou is going to demo one of the network captures. And I'm going to wrap up with a Q&A at the end. But if you have any questions while we're talking, please feel free to ask. So as I mentioned, the overview documents are great for if you're new to the protocol space, if you're new to a technology area, but you're familiar with protocols, and they include networking captures of the examples that we cover. This is a typical overview, outline of an OD. It's really simple. Basically, the meat of it is introduction that tells you what it covers. The second part of it is all of the described protocols that are related in that document. And then the section three is really the meat of the document, which is all examples. And we take common scenarios that you'll be, I think, interested in for the protocol and technology area. And we describe those. We show sequencing diagrams, and we provide network captures, like I mentioned. Where can you find them? So, if you're familiar with our protocol documents on MSDN, the overview documents are right there. If you look under the Windows Protocols node, there's a node just for overview documents. There's a short URL that you can make a note of, aka.ms/ods, gets you right to that node. And you'll find all the 21 overview documents there. These are all of the overview documents that we cover. Like I mentioned, we have 21 overview documents. And for file, fax, and printing, you can see how many there. VSOD, which is the virtual storage overview document, is a new one. But we cover all the areas that are important. You know, RDP, networking, directory services, identity, security. I mentioned network captures. By show of hands, how many folks use Message Analyzer? All right, okay, not bad. Well, good news is the captures are in message analyzer format. So we use message analyzer to save the captures. So on the left, I'm showing a sequencing diagram for an example in the overview document. And you can see we basically say we show the message flowing between the client and the servers for that example. And on the right is the associated capture. And what we do is we actually annotate the captures. So if you look on the lower right-hand side of that slide, that annotation right there corresponds to that step two in the sequencing. So you can look at the document and then look at the capture in Message Analyzer or whatever networking tracing tool that you're using, and you can see exactly where the message is flowing and what it describes. It's a good way of understanding what's happening for that example. Where can you find the captures? So if you go to the overview document page that I showed you, and you go to click one of those that you're interested in, the first page for every overview document has on it a link to the captures. So if you click that, you'll get a zip file of the network captures in Message Analyzer format. Something that we just did a couple months ago is we actually put the network captures, we open source them, and they're now on GitHub. So what does that mean? It means that they're now open for you to contribute, to change, to modify, to add new use cases, to add new captures. So that is where it is. It's at prot-od-netcaps. And there's a folder for every overview document, and those folders have all of the captures. So how can you contribute? You can add captures in other formats. So how many of you use Wireshark? All right, great. So we have a group of exactly. So right now we don't have Wireshark format captures up there. We'd love it if you could add those. Fiddler, anybody use Fiddler? All right. Again, we'd love to have Fiddler. So if you go on on GitHub, you'll see, like I mentioned, message analyzer format. We actually also have some network monitor format files there too that we did. But we haven't gotten around to Wireshark and Fiddler, so we'd love if you could contribute in that way. What can you do? You can look at the captures, you can augment it. So we put comments in it. If you have additional information you want to add and share with folks, augment the comments, add new comments. We, for all the captures, we use the latest versions of Windows client and server. If you are interested in a different mix of versions, create a capture for that environment. Create new use cases. Like I said, we cover some real interesting scenarios, but not all the scenarios for the overview document. We'd love it if you'd add new use cases and describe those and then create captures. All of your information, all of your contributions on our GitHub project will make it back into our overview document. So you'll see all of your additions and the sharing information you put for your fellow implementers get back to everybody. So that would be wonderful. So help us improve overview documents, please. All right, so I'm going to hand over to Steve and Lou, and they're going to talk about one specific overview document, the latest one, MSVSOD. All right.
Thank you, Althea. So for VSOD, what it is it's an informative document that shows the different relationships between multiple protocols. If you were to actually go into RSVD and start running through how to open up a virtual disk or do anything like that, it's going to point you over to SMB, then SMB is going to point you back over to RSVD. So what we did is we took and we condensed that into an overview document, into the different scenarios so that you can easily follow through, and it has pointers to the sections. So what it does cover is SMB3 connecting to a virtual disk and RSVD, but only RSVD version 1. We haven't added anything around version 2. It does not include any of the information that you would find in HVRS, such as, you must implement a persistent handle. It's nothing like that. All of the real meaty technical details are still left in the protocol documents. Same with VHDX, we don't put any sort of constraint on the type of virtual disk that you'd want or that you could do. So, and we created this document specifically because of feedback from you guys. So next, as you can see, the protocol relationships that we have going on that we document are fairly simple. We don't cover anything so far as SQOS or FSA or FSCC, but if these are things that you would like us to see and add to the virtual document, please let me know, come up to me, tell me, and I'll do my best to get them added. So right now, the use cases that we do cover, it's just the very basic stuff of just connecting to the virtual disk, sending a write or read, and then closing it out. And like I said, for these use cases, if you want us to add more information, please come and find me. I'd be more than happy to do it. Or if there are different types of use cases or different protocols that you'd like to see us incorporate into the document. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Lou.
Okay, thank you, Steve. As Steve has mentioned previously, there are two examples included in the VSOD. The first one is to access a virtual disk file from a common SMB share. And the second example is to access a shared virtual SCSI disk. Under such situation, firstly, we need a cluster shared volume to store such SCSI shared virtual disk. So in our environment, we leverage the Windows Server 2016 new feature called nested virtualization to set up the failover cluster. So firstly, let's take a look at the architecture of the nested virtualization. So you can see here, the bottom layer of the is a physical hardware layer which runs Windows Server 2016. It acts as a Hyper-V host, and we create VM, which also runs Server 2016 on the physical hardware. It is the first layer of virtualization. And the VM on the hardware will act as a virtualized Hyper-V host there. And on the VM, we create a nested virtual VM. It is the second layer of virtualization. So you will see the VM inside a VM. To use the latest feature of nested virtualization, there are some prerequisites. So first, the host needs to run Windows Server 2016, and the VM running on the host should also be Windows 2016. So some other prerequisites like Hyper-VM version should be greater or equal than 8.0 and so on. Now let's take a look at what our environment look like. So firstly, we have to create two virtual machines running on the Hyper-V host, and we create a cluster by the two virtual machines. We create a cluster shared volume to store our shared virtual disk. Then we have another hosted VM running on the physical machine, and inside the hosted VM, we create a nested VM. So we attach the shared virtual SCSI disk to the nested VM. By doing so, we can open the message analyzer on the hosted VM. Here, you can also use other trace tools like Wireshark and so on. So we can just capture the ISVD messages from the hosted VM. Okay, as I talked previously, all these environments can be set up only using one physical machine by leveraging nested virtualization. Now, let's take a look into the details of the example. So, this is a message sequence of the example. Firstly, we will see some common SMB2 messages like negotiate, session setup, and tree connect. And after that, the client will need to open a SVD open. A SVD open means that SMB2 create a request with SVHDX open device context. There are two versions for this context. The difference is that version 2 contains some more fields like server service version, virtual sector size, and so on, which means that client can query such information from server just by sending a create request. For version 1, since the device context does not contain such information, so the client needs to send one more IO control request to retrieve such information, which we will see in the next. And before that, let's see how to trigger the ISVD open in our real environment. So here is a screenshot The VSOD driver is our hosted virtual machine, and inside that we can see there is a nested VM running inside the VSOD driver. So when we choose SCSI controller and the shared drive, we can input the location of the virtual disk file and click add. Then we can capture the SVD open request from the VSOD driver, the aka the host virtual machine. So next, as I talked previously, the client, when the SVD open is created successfully, the client will send the IO control request to retrieve virtual disk information, including sector size, physical sector size, and so on. And after that, client can send the SCSI command to the server. Client send the SCSI command to the server needs to use the operation code SVD internal SCSI operation. So besides to send the SCSI command, client can also do some async operation. That's for open context device open context version 2, including like resize the virtual disk size file when the VM is still online, or take checkpoint of the VM, or convert the virtual disk file format to VHDS file, and so on. Since these operations may take a long time, so these kind of operations are defined as async operation in our protocol. Now, let's see a simple demo. So this is our environment. You can see several virtual machines here. The VSOD node 1 and node 2 are set up as a cluster. And the VSOD driver will act as a Hyper-V host. Let's see this. So this is a virtual machine. We installed Hyper-V manager on this virtual machine, and we create a nested VM inside this virtual machine. So when we attach here, we choose the SCSI controller and the shared drive, and then we give the location of a cluster shared volume. I have already put a VHDS file here. Okay, then we can capture the network trace. I have already captured one, so I can just open it. So we can see here, this is the open device context, and there are some initial info requests. Let me check whether there is a annotate one. So there it is. So this passage has already been annotated. So you can see we have give the example, the specific step, and some description for the message type and row and the frame number, so on. So you can find such information by downloading our capture from GitHub. That's a simple demo. Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. Yeah. All right. So you know, Lou showed you that she basically how to set up her environment. And so there are tips on how to trigger certain messages that she went over. And then she showed you how it connects to the steps that you see in the OD and how the annotations really help you to understand what's going on. So thank you. Thank you, Lou. And we do that. We do these network captures every time we update an overview document. We update with the latest versions and we put it on GitHub. So they're always up to date and ready for you to use. So like I said, we have the hands-on demo. Lou actually has it running on her machine. If you want to, pull her aside and say, can I try it? Can you show me how you actually did this and set it up or give me tips? Because I want to set it up in a different environment. Lou is here. Her email is lche@microsoft.com too. Or you can contact myself or Steve. There's our email address, LTSC and SD Smith. If you have feedback on VSOD, Steve is a writer. like you mentioned, there are use cases that we don't cover. If you're interested in expanding those examples and adding more user person contact, if you have feedback on the ODs in general, so example, you know, if there's something that you want to see, a scenario covered or a group of technologies that we don't have an overview document for right now, please come in and let me know, Althea C. Please subscribe to our GitHub repository. We'd love you to contribute. It will help you. It also will help us and your, you know, fellow implementers. So please, again, it's prot-od netcaps. Subscribe to see what's going on and then, you know, fork repository and please contribute. And the last slide is just some resources that you can write down, some short URLs to get to the information we presented earlier. So thank you very much. If everybody, anybody has any questions? Yes.
Is there any trick to configuring a VM so that you can install Hyper-V on the VM? I have not been able to do that.
Oh. Lou?
You installed Hyper-V on a VM,
yes.
So your nested host.
Yeah.
Is there any trick to configuring the VM so you can do that?
Yeah.
I've tried to do that and I have not been able.
There are some prerequisites. Okay. Sorry. There are some prerequisites to do that. You have to check the host OS and the VM OS, and you have also to check the CPU architecture, whether these prerequisites can be satisfied. If you are interested in this, I can find you some document to lead you there.
Okay. So the underlying hardware supports Hyper-V, clearly.
Yeah.
Because I have Hyper-V installed, and then I create a VM using the same OS, 2016.
Okay.
So is there something special to...
Actually, you have to run... Yeah.
The VM doesn't show the same support, required Hyper-V support that the physical machine shows.
Yeah, maybe you have to check whether the hardware can satisfy the prerequisites.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I can find you some document.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have already gone through that.
Anyone else? Questions? Thank you, Althea, Steve, and Lou. That was great.